Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're back with Total Information AM here on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch, and it's time to get some insight on some of the top legal issues in the news this week with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
Let's start out with a local story. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page has named County Prosecutor Wesley Bell's replacement. The State Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, maintains that it's the governor's job to pick that successor. Talk about the legal questions in this issue.
Well, we have both legal questions and policy questions here, Megan. And the legal question, I think, is actually quite easy to resolve. And that is, under the Missouri Constitution, the governor is empowered to appoint any vacancies when it comes to a prosecuting attorney. We saw that very recently when Kim Gardner left office in the city and the governor appointed Gabe Gore to become the new circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis. That really follows state law. However, the county, St. Louis County Charter, specifies that the county executive is empowered to make that nomination. We saw that done very recently in St. Charles County when Steve Ellman, the county executive in St. Charles County, appointed a replacement to Tim Lomar when he left. And so we have a discrepancy here, particularly with St. Charles, because there the governor allowed the county executive to make the appointment. So it is Sam Page's position that it's a political, that you can't just pick and choose what appointments, if you're the governor, you can't pick and choose what appointments you want to make. But under state law, it's very clear, and state law obviously will override any conflicting county law or ordinance. And so the court is going to have to wrestle with this idea of whether the governor has waived that right to make the appointment because of what happened in St. Charles County. But ultimately, I see Andrew Bailey's office prevailing in this action because of the strength of the Missouri Constitution on this point.
Let's look at this from a practical matter, Brad. Just, you know, the fact that there are limited weeks left to get someone in that office and get them up to speed as a county prosecutor. So how quickly does this need to be decided?
Well, like in all situations, or a lot of situations, Megan, courts don't move quickly. And yet this is an instance where we need the court to move quickly. I believe that Wesley Bell is going to be sworn into Congress on January 3rd. And so literally the clock is ticking on this. So in that, it may be an instance where if the court doesn't have this resolved in the next 3 weeks, we could see Sam Page appoint someone as the acting prosecuting attorney until the court process gets resolved.
How disruptive would that be to the office if this is not resolved quickly?
It would be very disruptive in this instance, Megan, because literally the prosecuting attorney in St. Louis County sets the tone for how police officers obtain evidence, how police officers are used as witnesses, how crimes are prioritized and prosecuted. And to have someone revolving in and out of that office would be very disruptive to the issue of fighting crime in St. Louis County.
Let's look at some of the other legal headlines that we've seen this week. One that I think is very interesting for anyone who's an employee of a big corporation, Apple, being accused by some of its employees of illegally monitoring their personal devices, their iCloud accounts. Apparently, they're claiming that employees had to install software on personal devices that would allow Apple to access email, photos, a lot of other personal information. If this is true, is this legal?
Boy, that's a great question. There's really two parts to this, Megan. First of all, this lawsuit that was filed in California also alleges that Apple is imposing confidentiality policies. We see these if we use Apple devices and you have to agree to the terms of service. But the employees are alleging that these confidentiality policies prohibit employees from discussing working conditions. And in that instance, that is a clear, if true, is a clear violation of the National Labor Relations Act. But I think more interesting here is this idea of having software on computers that track the employees, because traditionally employers have always been allowed to monitor the work performed by employees. But now that we see this post-COVID move to allow large numbers of employees to work remotely, oftentimes on their own computers, where is the boundary? Where is the dividing line from an employer's perspective in terms of monitoring the work performed by an employee and yet safeguarding the employee's privacy when it comes to photographs or calendars or any other private, could be tax information or financial information? And we really have no legal guidance on this. So this case could be groundbreaking if it helps establish that dividing line between monitoring employees and protecting their privacy.
Let's move to the Supreme Court. The High Court set to hear arguments today in a case that involves access to gender-affirming care for minors. It's based on a Tennessee law, the case that they're looking at, but many other states have similar laws. So talk to us about the potential impact of any decision by the High Court on this.
Yeah, this case has direct impact on Missouri in particular. And the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments literally in about 20 minutes today because the Tennessee law bans the use of puberty blockers and hormone therapy for transgender genes or transgender teens. But yet in this instance, again, we have this conflict because traditionally, states under the 10th Amendment have the right to monitor or to regulate health care within the state. But at the same time, the plaintiffs in this case are arguing that there is an equal protection clause protection under the 14th Amendment that says you cannot treat people differently. You can't treat a transgender child differently than a non-transgender child. And if one could get these drugs or treatment and the other cannot, then they're being treated differently. So the court is going to have to balance that dissonance here to try to determine whether states have autonomy to control this type of care or whether the 14th Amendment will prevent states from treating these individuals differently.
I think a lot of people too, Brad, have fears that, okay, if the court rules on this, how could it impact parental rights and responsibilities and many other aspects of their child's health care?
Yeah, that is the big takeaway here, because if the court holds that a state cannot block transgender care, even if the parents are wanting their own child to receive that care or not receive that care, either way, the court holds on this, Megan, it's going to impact the ability of parents to control the health care that their children receive or even know about the health care that their children receive. So regardless of how the court rules, this will be impactful when it comes to how parents and the rights that parents have to control medical care for their children.
Before we let you go, I just want to touch quickly on another matter that the Supreme Court heard this week, Monday, on the FDA and these flavored e-cigarettes over public health concerns. Just a little bit of a brief on that case, as it were, and what the court's considering.
Yeah, it's also interesting because this also deals with the health of our children because two different companies wanted to make fruit and candy flavored liquids for use in e-cigarettes, and the FDA rejected that. And so this is up at the Supreme Court to determine whether the FDA can, in fact, ban these types of products that could literally lead children down a path of addiction or maybe be a gateway to other types of drug use. So, again, it's a case dealing with whether and to what extent states can regulate the protection of children.
Brad, thank you so much for your time, as always.
My pleasure.
That is KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris Dow Fisher & Young, joining us this morning on Total Information AM.